Heavenly Father, as we remember the true meaning of Memorial Day, I thank you for the willingness of all of those who have served in the armed forces and those who serve in police and fire service, first responders, who lay their life on the line every day, and many of them have given their lives. I do pray that you would intervene for the families that are left behind, as we have seen in the short little video. There's wives left behind, mothers left behind, dads left behind, husbands and wives left behind, children left behind. Lord, we would uplift them today, as even the last month there have been additional soldiers have killed in service, additional policemen have been killed in service, even a fireman has been killed as he sought to respond to a fire call. So Lord, we lay them before you. We would pray for our soldiers who are serving right now. We just ask you to divinely intervene for them, for the policemen, for the firemen, for the first responders, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would keep our military show of strength strong, and Lord, please help the Middle East not to erupt in war, and to Iran to rethink its position in stirring up troubles. Pray you'd protect Israel. Pray you'd protect our nation. Gracious Heavenly Father, we would ask for chaplains. They're getting much fewer, but chaplains around the world, as particularly the believing chaplains who try and share the gospel with the soldiers, and Christian soldiers to share the gospel with their others, Lord. We just pray that you would help there to be salvations. We think of the Armed Forces Baptist mission that we support, try and have churches and canteens for the military persons by military bases, and Lord, we pray that you'd give them good success in their ministry. We think of John Schrock, who's out of the military now and is seeking to minister to servicemen in his ministry. We commit him to you as well. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us now this day as we share the message that you've laid on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is Remember the True Meaning of Memorial Day, and the text that I've used is John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. To many, Memorial Day is the kickoff to a summer season of barbecues, picnics, outdoor activity. Linda was in the store yesterday, just getting food for us yesterday, and they were just flooded, and people trying to get barbecue supplies and all of that sort of things. Congress moved on purpose Memorial Day to Monday so that it could be a long holiday weekend. That's great for business. It's good for recreational enterprises for obvious reasons, and it's not bad for industries as well. It's less expensive to shut down at the start and end of a week rather than in the middle of the week. Now, I don't begrudge any of you enjoying family time and barbecues and all that kind of stuff on Memorial Day. In fact, on Monday evening, we'll probably do that as well. But on Monday morning, I plan on going to my dad's grave. He's just around the corner. He served in the service. He was injured as well and had a disability all of his life. But thankfully, he didn't die in the military. But I plan on decorating his grave and acknowledging his service. And I'm very grateful for what he did for the cause of our country. What I'm concerned about is that most people have forgotten the real meaning of Memorial Day. I was telling a Sunday school class, I remember growing up, it was called Decoration Day. Any of you remember that? Some of you remember Decoration Day called Memorial Day. In our town, I was talking to one of the men in prayer breakfasts, their town didn't do this, but in our town, we would have a parade, and there would be a bunch of soldiers dressed up in uniform. Those who could fit in their old uniforms, you know, dressed up in their uniforms. There'd be lots of flags. There would be the bands all dressed up. They'd be carrying rifles and many American flags. And we would travel to the cemetery on the edge of town, and there was a military area of that cemetery that we had there. Once we arrived, we would gather around, and there would be a short challenge reminding us of the cost of freedom and those who gave their lives for our freedom. And then they would have a time of prayer, and then there would be, for us kids at that time, it was really exciting. There was a 21-gun salute, and it wasn't very respectable, but we would respectful, but we would scramble after the empty shells that would come out of the rifles as the blanks were fired there. And then everybody got very serious when they played taps. Still gets me today. I've been to and done, as a chaplain, some military funerals, and it still gets me to this day as I stand there and they play taps. All this is to remind us that freedom isn't free. Freedom isn't free. Roughly 1,264,000 American soldiers have died in the nation's wars. 620,000 of those, if you can imagine this, were in the Civil War. That's the last time our family, we've had many family members who served, but that's the last time our family lost anybody. I lost two great uncles in the Civil War at the hands of the South. Yet many Southern soldiers died as well. It was a war within our country. But then we have 644,000 in the other conflicts. That's a high price for gaining and the preservation of our freedoms, as well as protecting and liberating those other nations around the world. See, I'm very concerned today that they're not teaching history in the public schools, at least the kind of history that they should be teaching in the public schools. There's very few of the younger generation who even realize why we got into World War II. Now, I was born after December 7th, 1941. That's Pearl Harbor. I was born after that, but one of the first pictures on there was the Arizona in Hawaii, because Pearl Harbor, we lost many, many soldiers as Japan came and bombed Pearl Harbor. That's what drew us into World War II, and I'll tell you, it would be a completely different country had Hirohito won the war. We'd be a different religion. And what about Adolf Hitler? What if Adolf Hitler had won the war? There was a movie out, it's a gory movie, but D-Day. I can't imagine, I mean, from the time they got off the landing craft till the time they almost got to the shore, we lost thousands and thousands of soldiers for D-Day. But as a result of D-Day, we began to win the war with Hitler and liberating, and I've been to some of them, excuse me. I've been to some of the concentration camps where the Jews were gassed and burned. Linda and I have stood in front of the ovens where they cremated the remains of 6 million Jews, friends. I don't care what nationality you are, it is not right to murder people. They don't teach those things anymore. They don't realize what socialism. Lynn and I were there a year after the wall came down, separated East Germany and West Germany. And I got to tell you right from the bottom of my heart, even though there was no gates, though on either side of us there was warning signs that told us not to walk on the no man's zone because they hadn't cleared all of the mines yet. But when we drove from West Germany into East Germany to see a good friend of mine, Friedhelm Kober, it was like we lost 40 years The houses were run down. And I remember sitting in the church that Sunday, and I remember Pastor Darrell preached the message there that Sunday, but the preacher, Friedhelm Kolber, got up, and they were interested to see, because they were unsealing the secret police archives. They were unsealing them to see who was the spy in their church, who'd been the spy in their church, to tell everything that was going on, and some people had disappeared. We don't understand today, or we're losing it, and I don't want us to lose it, what it costs to have our freedom, friends. And we need to teach our children, and we need to teach our grandchildren, because it doesn't seem that they're getting it in the public schools any further. But I, for one, am grateful for all those who have laid down their life in the past and are laying down their lives currently, so that we can be free. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance, my friends. One of our national observance of Memorial Day dates all the way back to 1868. In fact, when General John A. Logan, the commander-in-chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared May 30th to be a special day to honor the graves of the Union soldiers. There's an argument of where the first national observance of Memorial Day took place. I'm not going to get into that debate, because I don't care one way or another. I'm just glad that it's observed. But the observance of Memorial Day started in this country to honor those and remember those who died in the war between the states. But it has expanded, as it should, to all those who sacrificed their lives in the service of our nation in any war. And in fact, and since 9/11, I toyed with the idea and didn't do it time-wise, but sometime asked Sal Santoro, Chief Santoro, about his trip to 9/11. Since 9/11, they've incorporated those of the fire department, police department, rescue, and medical personnel in the remembrance of Memorial Day. Many policemen, many firemen, many first responders have lost their lives. So why am I taking a Sunday morning to talk about this? I'm telling you this because it's up to us. It really is up to us. I know that a lot of you who have served in the service, you lost friends. Korea, most of the World War II, there's a few of them around. Most of the World War II, guys have passed, and they're passing quickly, but we still have Korea, and we still have Vietnam, and we still have Desert Storm, and we still have all of those things there. But I'm not saying that you need to tell the gory stories, but I need to impress upon your mind that if we are going to remember what freedom costs, we need to pass on the respect that we should have for those who have laid down their lives for their country. Amen? I mean, that's just my gut belief. It's my belief that the failure to remember and the failure to honor the sacrifice of those who have gone on before us will lead to a failure to preserve the very things for which they died. I cannot believe the group of people who think that socialism is a good thing. It boggles my imagination. I have seen what it's done to a country when Lyndon and I passed from what used to be West Germany into East Germany. It just turned my stomach. Freedom is not free. And those who recognize the cost will continue to pay its price so that it can be preserved, while those who do not remember the cost will not, and ultimately will lose it. And that's why it's good for us who are here today to honor those who have paid the ultimate price so that we might be free, and to tell the next generation the true significance of Memorial Day. Have a good time with your family. Enjoy your cookouts, but please take time to let them know what Memorial Day is all about. Well, I want to move now and shift to the memorials that we have in the Bible. In the Bible, memorials were a good thing. They wanted people to remember. So they set aside objects and they set aside days for remembering. They did that on purpose. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 9, verse 8 through 17. I remember coming home from Kenosha when we were just amazed. We were looking over at where they're building the new Foxconn building down there, and there was a double rainbow, a bright double rainbow. But did you know that the rainbow is a memorial? Let's look at it in Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse 8 to 17. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and of the cattle and of the beasts of the earth with you. It says, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, and neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the water of the flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a token. Note that word token. I'll talk about it later in the message. Of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. And here it is. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. The rainbow, the bow in the cloud, it was a sign that God made a covenant with Noah that he would never again destroy the entire earth with a worldwide flood. And every time I look at that, I am thankful for the fact that God keeps his promises. That bow is set there for a memorial. We are to look on that bow. And it irritates me to no end that gay people have used that rainbow and perverted it. It has nothing to do with them. God will judge them on his own. But that is a covenant that God has made, and we know that our Lord is a promise-keeping God each time we see that rainbow. Praise the Lord. Then we have been studying this some in Exodus chapter 12. A second memorial is there. And in the verses leading up to this verse, the Israelites are told to take an unblemished lamb to kill it. They are to take the blood of it and place it upon the sides and the top of the door frames of their house. And then they are to go inside the house and they're to eat the lamb. Exodus chapter 12, either in your notes or in your Bible, It says in verse 11 through 14, "And thus shall ye eat, with your loins," you're all dressed, "with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Verse 13. "And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where ye are." It says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Verse 14. "And this day shall be unto you a memorial," remembrance, "and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever." As you can see, the members of the family were to keep inside during the Passover. They would be fully dressed, ready to go, staff in hand, so when God called them, they could go. If you read the context, no bone of the lamb was to be broken. Very interesting how that applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And during the night, the lamb was sacrificed. It was roasted with fire. It was eaten in haste with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And the reason behind this was that God was going to pass through during the evening and kill the firstborn for those who did not have the blood on their doorpost. This is the first ordinance of the Passover in the scripture, and the word Passover means to step over. What's he stepping over? God mercifully stepped over their sins because of the blood. In verse 13, it says the blood was on the door frames as a token, and the word token there is the same one that is used for rainbow, and it means a sign or a monument. In the case of the blood, it was a sign or a monument to remind the people. And what was it to remind them of? It was to remind them that the blood of the Lamb saves sinners from judgment. And by way of application, let me just tell you, is the blood of the Lamb on your life? Is it on your life? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's not. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's a great lesson to us of how the Passover lamb was for the salvation of Israel. And the Passover was an important memorial to the Israelites because God's separated the Israelites from the Gentiles. God protected his people. God delivered his people. God's requirement for his people was dedication to them, and God's commandment was that they keep the feast annually to remind them of how God had delivered them. And that's interesting because, guess what? The first communion, the first Lord's table, was celebrated at what time? Passover. Passover. What a transition from old to new. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26, that I read to you very often on Communion Sunday, the greatest biblical memorial of all is the Lord's Supper because it reminds us of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You know, out of all the memories This is the one we are commanded to actively take part in as often as we do it. Some churches come to the Lord's table each week. Some churches, like ours, we come to the Lord's table each month. I have several friends who come to the Lord's table once a year. But you know, when you come to the Lord's table, it is a memorial. It is a remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. It is important to remember. It is important for us to be thankful. Just as Jews, when they come to Passover time, I think it gets lost on them, but they need to remember how they were 430 years captive in Egypt, and then God delivered them through the blood. And it's important for us, when we come to the Lord's table, that we remember how we've been delivered from the penalty, the power, the presence, and the penalty, the power of sin, and one day the presence of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen? I mean, praise God. But why? Our Memorial Day, each time that we come to the Lord's table. Now, next month, it's going to, because Dr. Schmidt's going to be here next week, we're moving that to the 9th, but we're still going to do it. But when we come to the Lord's table, I don't want it to become mundane to you. I want you to think about it as Jesus Christ was there, and in the Old Testament, how they were delivered by the blood, and Jesus Christ comes before his disciples, and he takes those elements of the Passover. There were several of them, but he doesn't take the bitter herbs. What he does is he takes the unleavened bread, and he takes that unleavened bread, that's the Passover, and he breaks it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." And I know I explained this to you on the Lord's table each time we did it, but you know why it's unleavened? Because leaven in the scripture is a picture of what? Sin. And Jesus Christ couldn't have paid the price for our sins if he was a sinner himself, correct? And he had no sin, he did no sin, he knew no sin. And that is why, as he breaks that unleavened bread and distributes it to his disciples, he says, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." Now, the bones weren't broken, but I'll tell you what. I held it up. It's packed right now to go to Texas, but I held up that cat of nine tails that they beat him with. Nine in the front and the rest in the back. And it ripped the flesh from his body. The crown of thorns that they put on his head wasn't little rose thorns. And it says that they took reeds and whacked him on the head while he had that on there. And the Old Testament said they plucked out his beard. He could not be recognized as a man. And why did he tolerate that when he could have called 12 legions of angels? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did it for us. You've heard it said, it's not my own. We owe a debt we could not pay. Therefore, Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. And so as we come to the Lord's table, it's a memorial. We are to remember and be thankful how that he gave his back to the smiters. He gave his face to the pluckers. Nails, and then the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Some of you, I know, lost friends during the wars. And the difficulty that many of our military people have when they come back, because I've counseled them, is they remember their buddies being killed near them. And they also remember having to pull the trigger and kill other people or be killed. And that does something to you, my friends. That does something to you because the life of the flesh is in the what? Blood. Jesus Christ willingly shed his blood so that we could have our sins forgiven. Amen? And we should never come to the Lord's table and take it lightly, but we should rejoice and be grateful to God that Jesus finished his prayer. Let me just tell you what I mean by that. He said, "Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me." He didn't stop there. Oh, my thankful. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." I had friends who died in Vietnam. One of them jumped on a grenade so that the rest of the people around him wouldn't die. Boy, oh boy, that kind of goes right along with John chapter 15, verse 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus laid down his life for us. And next time that we come to the Lord's table, may we ponder very carefully, anew and afresh, what Jesus Christ did for us. And as I wrap things all up, even a little bit early today, believe it or not, I don't want us to lose the true meaning of Memorial Day on this temporal realm. I do want us to remember and be thankful for those who gave their lives that we might be free. I wrote this in conclusion. Memorials are created so that the mind can bring into focus and not forget important events. We are indebted to the soldiers who died for our temporal freedom. Still my favorite president, Ronald Reagan, he said, "We are forever indebted to those who have given their lives that we might be free." Believers, we are eternally indebted to our Lord Jesus Christ, who died that we should be free from the slavery and the condemnation of sin. If Jesus Christ isn't your personal Savior, I would urge you to get that settled today. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to